Hello, Saints. Get your eye devices out. If you've got an Android, just leave it off. It's not useful anyway, so, you know. My talk only works on iPhone. You know, you can't download it. Okay. I'm going to do another talk about church signs because they changed it. So, you know, they're working for me. And what was funny about this, I'd come back from work and I'd seen they'd changed the church sign and it sparked a few ideas in my head. And yesterday I drove past with Michelle. She got really outraged by this sign. So I thought, I'm onto something here. And Michelle basically wrote my talk in 2 minutes of her just incredulous response they could put this thing up on this sign. So I hope I haven't built it up too much. Okay, so the sign said, "Coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous." Now, I just want you to think about that for a moment. See if you can find the Michelle special place. It shouldn't take too long. Okay, so I just thought I'd have a look at, you know, God's anonymous ways. I think maybe they're suggesting that God belongs to a hacker collective. And, you know, in the downtime, he's working against the system and taking over banks and I don't know. But anyway, what does the dictionary say about a coincidence? Well, a coincidence, according to the dictionary, is a remarkable concurrence of events or circumstances without apparent causal connection. And I was going to ask Sho what causal connections were because, you know, she goes to university and stuff and she studied at least one unit of statistics. But I thought, no, we'd skip over that. And what is anonymous? Okay, well, there's a couple of versions of anonymous. So, number one, of a person not identified by name or of unknown name. Number two, having no outstanding individual or unusual features, unremarkable or impersonal. So, again, let's think for a moment. Can we classify God as either coincidence or anonymous? I'm hoping the answer is an overwhelming no. But I thought, just in case you want this to be a very short talk, we'd go through a few scriptures just to back that up. Let's start with the fact that in the King James Version of the Bible, the word coincidence does not exist. Okay, it's not there. Get your concordance out, have a look, it's not there. The closest that you can get is that in Luke chapter 10 and verse 31, if we just go there. Okay, so Luke chapter 10, verse 31. "And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." Okay, so that's kind of the closest we get in the Bible. And there's one rather vague translation of the Bible that actually substitutes "and by chance" for "by coincidence." Okay, so other than the fact that some translator somewhere of some, you know, renegade Bible translation put that in, this is as close as we get to coincidence. What we kind of understand is that citing coincidence is how we humans explain unexpected events and surprise meetings. But just because we're taken by surprise doesn't mean that God is, and all the people said. You know, we've talked in the testimonies about God's plan and purpose. You know, so the fact that God has a plan and a purpose means that coincidence is actually kind of out of the thing at just the most fundamental understanding. Now, without wanting to particularly rail against these people who put this sign up, because it gives me things to give talks about, I can kind of understand where they're coming from, because as it turns out, this church is the same church that I used to belong to, and I had no clue. So it's really easy to understand that they're putting these, you know, if nothing else, they're provoking thought on my behalf with this sign. But it's actually really easy for me to understand how someone who's not filled with the Spirit cannot understand the scriptures. It's sad, but that's how it is. And I know there's many of us that have testified and talked about, we had that same experience, that we read our Bibles before we came along, but we didn't actually understand the Bible until we were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then we just consumed it voraciously. We just, you know, we couldn't stop reading the Bible. We just wanted the Word of God to get into our heads as fast as possible, because we just found it to be alive and quickening to our souls, that was almost poetic, quickening to our souls. Goodness me, cut that out. And there was no part of that that was a coincidence, because it was God's plan. You know, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're suddenly enabled to read the scriptures. Okay, so we can probably exclude God as part of a hacker collective, so he's not anonymous, and coincidence doesn't really kind of come into it. Okay, so let's look at a few examples and try and decide whether these biblical events were coincidence or perhaps they were a plan and purpose thing. So where else do you go for major biblical occurrences but the Old Testament? Let's go to Numbers chapter 16. Because the key thing, of course, about the Old Testament is that, just, you know, Joe Average had no personal relationship with God. At best, he had a personal relationship with the guy that sold him turtle doves and, you know, sacrificial things. He may have had a relationship with his local synagogue, but he had no relationship with God. That was kind of restricted. So if we start off here in verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of, Eliab and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly. Do we have princes of the assembly, Pastor Philip?
No.
It's probably just as well, because they seem to be painful. 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Yeah, we definitely don't have those people. Not in a good way anyway. We have men of renown who, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Now actually this kind of happens quite often in assemblies, that certain people will look at the pastors and the oversight and rail against them, that they appear to be lording it over the flock, and, you know, who made you pastor? And, well, in fact, you know, we know the answer to those questions. You know, everyone else, when they asked for volunteers to be pastor, everyone else took a step backwards, and the pastors were just slow of foot. They weren't able to get back fast enough. So, you know, who made you above the congregation of the Lord? In verse 4, and when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, because, you know, he was tripping over trying to get backwards. And he spoke unto Korah and to his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and who will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom hath he chosen will he cause to come near unto him. Verse 6, this do, take you censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow, and it shall be that the man whom the Lord does choose, he shall be holy. You take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, you sons of Levi, seems it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel, to bring you near to him to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. In verse 10, and he has brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also. For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord, and what is Aaron that you murmur against him? Let's jump down for time. Verse 19, and Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell on their faces, as you would, and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Verse 29. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. In verse 30, but if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up, with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Okay, we see a coincidence coming, don't we? In verse 31. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. In verse 35, and there came a fire, came out a fire from the Lord, and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. So, anonymous? Coincidence? I think not. Okay, Proverbs chapter 16. Okay, just down in verse 33. All right, so in verse 33 it says here, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Now that one's a bit hard to understand, so I looked to a different translation here, the New International Version. It said, the lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. And that's how it is. We can do what we like, but the Lord has a plan and purpose for us, and he's the one that that sort of moves us through the maze of life. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. And of course, as Lynn's just testified, the maze of life is actually full of dragons, it would appear. You know, there's, of all the twists and turns that we take trying to make it through, you know, the straight path and not go to the left and the right, well, mazes have lefts and they have rights, and yes, there be dragons. And, you know, a lot of these things are put there for reasons that we don't understand, you know, and I talk about this often, but, you know, the trials in our life, we don't understand why it's happening, we don't understand particularly why some people get one after another, we don't understand why some people really don't get that much. But that's each of us has this walk that we have to walk, and you know, we can only deal with what God puts in front of us. And all people said, and you know, as we were talking, well, I was talking briefly at lunchtime about Lynn's amazing emotional capacity. You know, she exceeds us all in her ability, it seems, to go through these things. But that's what, for whatever reason, that's what God has done. Okay, Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But for the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So once again, you know, the suggestion that anything would happen, you know, without God understanding about what's going on, is kind of ridiculous. That, you know, if he knows about the number of hairs on our head, or the lack of hairs on our head, depending on, you know, who you may be, other Andrew. It just so happens he was, you know, scratching his bald head there at the time. It's the helmet's rubbed off, you know, I understand, yeah, it's, yeah. You know, the Lord understands that level of details, you know, and if a sparrow is going to fall out of the sky, then the Lord knows about that. He understands everything about what we're doing. Okay, Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Okay, so once again, there is no doubt, well, there should be no doubt, that God is in charge of the plan and purpose of God. You know, it's, you know, he made all things, he created all things, he gave us free will, but ultimately, you know, it's his plan and purpose. Proverbs chapter 19. Okay, down in verse 21. Proverbs 19, verse 21. There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. And again from the NIV, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So we can think that we can think, you know, and that's, you know, it's a bit tricky to get your head around, but you know, we think that we're in charge of our own destiny, but really the Lord has predestined us. He's picked us out, he's chosen us to do whatever it is that his plan and purpose is. It was not a coincidence. You know, it may seem completely random. So in my case, for example, you know, I was in the Air Force. I was in Melbourne. I wanted to stay in Melbourne, so I put on my posting form Perth, because no one ever got posted to Perth. I got posted to Perth. I didn't know anybody in Perth. And yet, when I went to my first house meeting, there was someone there I knew from Melbourne. You know, whoa, that's a coincidence. No, it's God's plan and purpose. So, you know, when the Lord is setting up the chess pieces, you know, he's moving them around, and some of these chess pieces just can take literally years and years, you know, to play out. But praise the Lord that he gives us the understanding that we can look back at these things and we can go, wow, I see how that was set up. I can see how those moves took place. You know, when you were witness to, you may have heard other people speak to you before, but, you know, at some appointed time when you were ready, well, when God was ready for you to be ready, you know, suddenly your ears are like, what's this? Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I want in on that. You know, suddenly our you know, everything was just cleared away, and that's what we had to do. So, no, it's not a coincidence, and no, God is not anonymous, you know, that he makes himself known you know, when things need to be known. Okay, how could we skip out on the story of Jonah? Well, easily, I guess we could just not use it, but we're not going to, because the story of Jonah, of course, has a particular relevance to us here in the Bunbury Revival Fellowship. And without naming names, let's just you know, have a bit of a quick look at this. Now, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. So, was God anonymous? No. Okay, so, you know, the word of the Lord came to Jonah directly. He was given an instruction. And, of course, in verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he found a ship, he paid the fare, and he jumped on it. But in verse 4, but the Lord, brackets anonymously, sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Because, you know, that's what you do. When you're ignoring the plan of God, you know, when you're ignoring the instruction of God, it's like you are asleep. Because how can you not understand what it is that God wants you to do? Was there any confusion about, let me just go back and read it again, arise, go to Nineveh. You know, what was confusing about that? Well, nothing was confusing about it, but, you know, Jonah thought that that's not what he wanted to do, so of course he went, you know, somewhere completely different. And the fact that he was sleeping kind of reminded me of, you know, Jesus being asleep in the boat, and you know, his disciples were all worried. You know, as far as Jesus was concerned, there was no problem. You know, it's just their understanding was the problem, and we heard about that. That what we perceive, our faith or our lack of faith, is on us. It's not God's limitation. It's our limitation. So this is the same sort of thing, you know. Is it anonymous? No. Was it a surprise? No. And even Jonah knows this, because, you know, we get to the point where he gets tossed off, you know, the boat. He tells them what's going on. Verse 16, then the men... In fact, verse 15, then, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. In verse 17, now the Lord had, coincidence, prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And of course, you know, we know the rest of the story, that that he ended up doing what the Lord wanted him to do. Not a coincidence at all, just the plan and purpose, and a really obvious big fish, just in case you missed it, you know. For those people out whale watching, just bobbing about, there's, oh, look, that's Jonah getting spewed up out of a fish. Snap, snap, you know. Put it up onto Snapchat or load the video onto YouTube, because, you know, it's apparently not every day you see that. You know, you could catch a bus, but no, he caught a big fish. Okay, let's have a look at John 20. Okay, John chapter 20, verse 11. Okay, so this is the story of Jesus' resurrection. John 20, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Was that a coincidence? No! There was at least two angels, because we've been into that and I don't want to go back there. There was at least two angels there, possibly three. And they were there for the express purpose of explaining what had happened to Jesus. Even though Jesus had said what was going to happen, God had sent the angels there just as the PS, you know, it really happened. We've talked about how many people were guarding, possibly, you know, the tomb, and you know, it was like a press gaggle. There were so many people around, so it wasn't anonymous. You know, the fact that Jesus rose and all the people that he appeared to, there was no quiet little let's maybe get this done and stay out of the way. There was no, well, that was unusual, but you know, I guess you kind of see resurrection every other day. No, you don't, do you? Anyone seen resurrection? No. Or in case you have, anyone seen resurrections with angels afterwards? No, okay. So, not a coincidence, and there was no anonymity about what was going on here. The angels were there to be seen. Okay, Matthew chapter 14. Okay, Matthew 14, verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Okay, again, was that anonymous? No. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." And Jesus, in verse 16, said unto them, "They need not depart, give them to eat." And they said unto him, "We have here but five loaves and two fishes." And he said, "Bring them hither to me." And we know the story, you know, 12 baskets left over. Was this some sort of subtle thing? Was there a, you know, it was really easy to explain what was going on here. No, it wasn't easy to explain. It was a miracle. But there was, you know, there was nothing anonymous about this at all. It was basically just keep coming back, you can have as much as you like, and it doesn't matter how much you eat, there was things left over, you know. It was, again, a metaphor of the Holy Spirit in that, you know, the Holy Spirit is running over. There is no limit to how much Holy Spirit we can make use of in our lives. God's given us there. He encourages us to keep delving in and making use of what it is the Holy Spirit gives to us. Not anonymous, not a coincidence, okay? That Jesus could see that the people needed to be fed. You know, maybe he was a riot controller and he's missing years, and he understood that you couldn't leave these hungry people and they just go, you know, smash a few shop windows or something. They needed their food, he provided the food. In Mark 16, of course, we have the very obvious, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." You know, again, hands up. Did we have signs following? Anybody? Are our arms broken? Seriously, people. All right, I'm going to make you turn to it. Mark 16. We seem a bit unsure about this. I thought I could skip over that one, but no, you can't take anything for chance. Pastor Philip, what are these people? Come on. Okay, Mark 16 and verse 16. Okay, just in case you weren't sure and you couldn't put your hand up or your arm was broken. "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned." In verse 17, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." The words of Jesus, okay? There was no surprise when they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. You know, they were told that there was going to be signs following, and there were signs following. Okay, so let's try again. Hands up, anybody that had signs following. That's mostly better. I'm not so sure, but yeah, thank you, Jody. Really? That's your... No, no, God. I put my hand up before. I'm putting my hand up once in my life, and that's it. That was no coincidence. Jody wanted to remain anonymous, I understand. Okay, Revelation chapter 1. Okay, Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he come with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Every eye shall see him. Every eye. So I guess if you're, you know, one eye, then that eye will see. But every eye shall see him. So it won't be anonymous, okay? Nothing about God is anonymous. The only thing that's anonymous is mankind's ability to ignore God, you know, to take these things that they call coincidences and refute that is the plan and purpose of God. You know, their ability to just cast away what are really obvious things is stunning. You know, but God is not anonymous. He wants people to understand what his plan and purpose. He goes to a lot of trouble to understand, to get people to understand what his plan and purpose is. So let's just finish up in Proverbs chapter 3 before Mr. Whippy gets here. That's not a coincidence. Okay, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. How simple is that? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, and he will direct your paths. Okay, so he wants you to understand his plan. He wants you to understand his purpose. He's prepared to work with you to make sure you understand these things. You've just got to put away your own understanding. It's the same all the time. You know, just every time we try to think that we know the answer, we get ourselves into trouble. And at some point we find we've got to trust in the Lord. That's who we are. That's how we were made. We were given that choice. But what God is saying here, trust in him with all your hearts and acknowledge him. And if you do that, he'll direct your paths. Thank you.